two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is KSL's Unrivaled. My heavens, it has been a while since we've done the full two-hour program, but here we are watching live NBA basketball unfold before our eyes here in the studio. And when I say us, I mean just me in the studio. Scott, of course, at the KSL Draper Annex.
I'm watching.
Well, Scott's watching. That's why it's like some people stare at the same moon and say, hey, we're looking at the same moon, man. Good thing we're still in love. Scott and I do the same thing with sports. We watch the same games. The Jazz are tipping off after this Pelicans and Grizzlies game ends here on ESPN. And then we're going to, of course, bring you those score updates throughout. But there are so many things that have been going on across the world of sports, not the least of which we're going to kick off the show here with our 7:05 cut. It has to do with college football.
The cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. It's 7:05. Here's what made the cut.
7:05 cut. My heavens, Scott Mitchell, we haven't done this in a while. 8:05 cut. We're all about it. But the 7:05 cut, we've been all over that. Yeah. So many things going on, and I want to start with this, and that is that this evening we're hearing reports of what the Big 12 is going to do for college football this college football season, whether or not they're going to do the 9-game, only have the their conference-only schedule, a possibility of a plus one, or the crazy idea of having BYU be invited for this short term. That probably is not going to be happening, but we are likely, and we're hearing a lot of rumblings as to what is going on, but nothing confirmed yet about the Big 12, but it looks likely that they're going to go to a 9-game plus one format, which also benefits BYU, I think, because now you have the ACC and you have the Big 12. I'm not sure how excited the ACC would be about scheduling BYU, but I think that BYU has enough relationships with teams in the Big 12 to make that happen. And that's not even the craziest of all the stories. We'll get to that in just a moment here, but that was just happening right now. But, Scott, I want to know I want to know your feelings on the Pac-12 and the letter that was written by a large number of Pac-12. We're being told a large number of Pac-12 team participants from multiple teams, some players from the Utes, some players. I don't know if it's been confirmed that there are players from every team yet, but we're finding out more and more. And the demands that they're making going forward, and that some of these players say that they will opt out, that they will opt out of the season if some of these demands are being met. These things are from financial to medical to insurance and all these things. Are these just a bunch of spoiled bratty athletes, or is this finally the time for us to wake up and start playing the players?
Yeah, it's not an issue paying of the players. Yeah, it's not an issue of spoiled players. It's really a culture that is kind of speaking up and speaking out. And I don't know if it's because of this COVID virus and that everyone's been locked down and locked up, and And I'm not sure what it is, but it's, you know, I think of the era that I went to school, or even as recent as just a few years ago, and you just wouldn't see the players do this. It's really hard when you're a college student to be able to organize. You're not there long enough. You know, most guys are only there 4 or 5 years, and you move on. And it's hard because you don't – if you're a good player – in college, you have leverage, right? Because you have value. And so it's hard to determine who the good players are and who the good players aren't. And I've just been impressed with the fact that these players are bold enough to do this, but also organized enough. And initially when I saw this morning, I'm like, you guys are off your rocker. Like, this is crazy talk. This is not going to happen. These colleges, these conferences are going to say, fine, go. Because okay, if you're a really good player in the Pac-12 and you go, I'm just sitting out, is it fine, sit out. And then they go, well, we'll go to another school. And you're just like, well, you're going to go to where? The SEC, where they already have really good players, and you're still not going to get your demands met. I mean, I don't know how much leverage they ultimately have, but I will say that I believe a lot of things they're saying make a lot of sense.
Well,
some of them are crazy, but there's a lot of it that makes sense.
Okay,
Alex.
So let's get the crazy out of the way first. One of the ones that were proposed in there were...
That's an easy one.
It's the money situation.
Half the revenue.
Half of the football revenue.
No.
The problem is that in the same letter that they've asked for half of the revenue to be shared among players across... And here's the thing is that you and I have agreed on a lot of these points where you're going, you know, there's probably been way too much... I mean, these college coaches and the administrators, all these guys, and the advertisers are getting paid so much money on top of just dollars on top of millions of dollars. The salaries are ridiculous, and they're asking for pay cuts for those guys. Good luck. But they're also asking.
But let's talk about that real quick.
But we know that's it's insane to think that that these guys, you know, get paid nothing compared to the $9 million salary that Nick Saban gets, for example.
But here's the thing. When you're in college football in particular, a good coach is so valuable. It means
but
everything.
But why are they valuable?
Because
they make recognition happen for the university.
They make recognition because they do an amazing job. And they're hard to find. Just look at Alabama, okay? And I'm not a big Nick Saban fan. I've never been, but he's a really good coach. There have been a lot of coaches that have gone to Alabama and not done very well. And you look at Alabama now and you just go, this is a juggernaut. Look at Pete Carroll when he went to USC. Like, he instantly changed USC.
Right.
And they had a lot of big name. They had a lot of supposedly – and it's a bigger asset. It's more valuable in college football having a really good coach than like the pros. The pros – at the pro level, the player drives everything. In the NFL, as far and they get paid, but
right.
But part of it
that's
is
why they're able to come to the negotiating table and actually have demands that can
yeah.
be met, right?
And that's why you know Patrick Mahomes is going to get $500 million.
I call it a half a billion. I mean, I don't know. I mean, potato, potato, but you know, $500 million.
And so you're not in college long enough. You don't have, you know, a college football player does not make. Yes, there's value, and yes, there. But you're not getting half the revenue, and a good coach is worth it. I mean, they are really worth it.
Larry Scott, I don't know so much, but a good coach, sure.
Yeah.
But let me. So, as the Pac-12, one of the things that caught me right off the bat was they feel like this one made sense a little bit more sense to me. It says we're being asked to play college football in a pandemic in a system without enforced health and safety standards. Without transparency about COVID-19 cases on our teams, and to risk ourselves, our families, and our communities, I do think that these players are being told, hey, and what are we saying? And we're kind of saying it too, right? Where we go, hey, this is, listen, let's start playing some football again, okay? Because college football, we kind of need you so we can feel like we're getting back to normal. And then we sort of go, yeah, I mean, you guys can figure it out. You're young, right? We sort of ended at that. And it is insane to think that we're asking these guys – And it's different. The NBA players, they can say, I'm opting out. I'm going to take a $500,000 salary, and I'm going to sit out the rest of this year instead of my $5 million salary. And that's a calculated risk there. But in the end, these college football players – The NCAA does not do right by them hardly ever when it comes to transferring, when it comes to extra years of eligibility and things like that. And certainly, one of the things I thought that made the most sense in this was the health care. That 6 years after their final year of athletics, that they get some portion of their health care costs paid for. I could tell you, with a brother who played college football and knew that he was not an NFL guy, but he played all 4 years at a linebacker position. He was hurt afterward. He had shoulder surgery. He had back surgery. Every person who walks away from the game and finally gets to quote-unquote real life, I think it is important to help these guys out and girls out who are in college and get hurt playing these sports in the name of giving their university some exposure. And I don't think that the scholarship is enough at the moment while they're there during school.
No. And I think these players are pretty savvy, actually. I think they've put some of these demands in there. They go, we know these are outrageous. We know these are not going to happen. But we're going to shoot for the moon and then use some of these crazy topics to, you know, like half the revenue. That's not going to, and you're not going to reduce the salaries of these coaches. It's just, that's going to be a hard thing to negotiate. But what they'll use it as is leverage for what you're talking about, is to get maybe some health care after they're done, maybe some image and likeness money while they're there, and maybe a chance to come back or to transfer, or some of these, you know, reasonable requests, I think, can become a reality. And I think that's what they ultimately want. But I'm just telling you, I'm super impressed that they're organized enough to ask these questions and make these demands.
If you're impressed now, wait till you hear Larry Scott's statement on it. The guy is just so impressive, the commissioner of the Pac-12. Well, read his part of what he had to say about this and the response to the letter that came today. And also, Sean O'Connell, OC, is going to join us. SiriusXM host for the Pac-12 Today show and also KSLSports.com contributor. He's going to join us. He's going to talk the letter. He did a full breakdown on KSLSports.com. Join us right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Jazz and Lakers about to tip off. We'll have those scoring updates for you throughout the night as well. Stay with us on KSL News Radio. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. First quarter, the Jazz and the Lakers in the bubble in Orlando for the NBA restart. The Jazz are up 7-2 early in the first quarter here. Probably one of the most interesting graphics, and one of the reasons that you should probably look and say, oh yeah, this kid's pretty good. Donovan Mitchell's at the line and became the – and he got his 5,000th point of his career. And among active players – only two got to 5,000 points this early in their career. LeBron James and Kevin Durant and Donovan Mitchell. Those are the names we're talking about that got to 5,000 points this early in their career. And so, Scott Mitchell, I think we got a pretty
congratulations,
special
kid Donovan over here. Mitchell.
That being said, also, the Jazz just looking – it's just so sloppy right now. I want so
really?
Bad
– I think the Jazz look good right
come
now.
Come on. I'm just saying this level of basketball right now is garbage in the bubble.
Oh my goodness,
it has been so
seven,
bad.
Nah, this has been good.
It's been so
look,
terrible.
I want to make a comment about this whole player – the college football player thing again.
Well, we want you to. Yeah. We're going to have OC help us out on this thing too.
Yeah, so. But I want to throw something out at you.
Okay, let me hear it.
And I just thought about it. No one knows what the long term effects of this pandemic are. Like we've never been through this, so we don't know if this is something that doesn't have long term effects on people. If it doesn't, no one knows. And so I just. I think it's a valid point for people to say, these athletes to say, hey, you need to take care of us down the road in the event that we have some long-term health issues from this. Because
yeah,
no
love
one
that
knows,
one.
Alex.
That
no one
needs
knows.
To happen for sure.
No one knows what's going to happen.
And it could be long-term stuff that we don't even haven't even studied yet, right? So joining us here right. on KSL's Unrivaled this evening, he is Sean O'Connell. OC joins us periodically on the program, and a lot more than we've gone back down to 2 hours. We're back up to 2 hours of programming, OC, and so we're just. I'm not saying that you're just filling time here.
And he's our first guest.
That's right. He's our first guest back. He's our first guest back after the Jazz have entered the bubble. So OC, thanks for being with us today, man.
I don't know if I'm honored to be your first guest back on 2 hours or insulted that you only bring me on when you have 2 full hours. You
know? Oh, no. I think it should be a little bit of both, actually.
It should be like some offended, but also a little bit grateful. Yes, that's where we want to keep people, is just kind of guessing. So, of course, OC hosts on SiriusXM Pac-12 Today and contributes on KSLSports.com. And you can read this, his thoughts on these players signing this Players Tribune article. Do we know exactly, OC, kind of, are we starting to get a rollout of how many players it ended up being? At first, we were kind of wondering, like, is this just one team? Is this just a bunch of guys from Washington State?
Now or the smart schools, right, like now, Stanford or Cal.
Now we're starting to find out that there's some Utah guys sprinkled in there as well. So what do we know about the letter, and when did it roll out, and when did the Pac-12? Larry Scott finally made a comment, but how's the Pac-12 reacting to this?
Well, to answer the first part of your question, we still don't know exactly who was involved and how deeply they were involved. We don't know exactly who drafted this document that all of us have read, right? I think that it's probably a coalition of players with the guidance of a guy named Ramogi Huma, who's a former UCLA player who's been kind of involved with a lot of the Ed O'Bannon case going all the way back that far up to now, where he was with Northwestern, helping Northwestern when they tried to unionize, that kind of stuff. He's a guy who believes in player organization, unionization, whatever. But we don't know exactly how many players were involved on a deep level. Sounds like, I think it was Stuart Mandel dug up the fact that there was at one point 400 Pac-12 players on the same group text thread.
Wow.
Can you imagine what a nightmare that is?
What a mess that would be getting those updates. Well, it's insane to think that these, you know, I think that people looked at it, and I asked Scott this, if people are reading this and thinking to themselves, what a bunch of whiny babies, versus what having like a normal, like, hey, these are guys who have real concerns about how things are going forward. How did you view some of the things that they were requesting in the letter?
You know, my perspective on this has always been different because I understand the plight of the student athlete on one hand, but I was also a walk-on. So I know how valuable those scholarships are. And I get a little bit bothered by the idea that we have, as an American public, as a sports viewing public, just in these conversations decided that a full-ride scholarship, the Pac-12 institution, is worth $0. That's insane. That is bananas, right? I get these guys want name, image, and likeness. That's happening. They're going to have to wait till next summer. There's no way the Pac-12 can accelerate this and make it happen in the next 2 weeks before they report to camp. The 50-50 revenue split, I think that even the players involved with this know that there's absolutely zero chance that that gets accepted. And they probably threw it in there as a strategic ploy to say, we know we're not going to get this, but we do want a sixth year of academic scholarship. We do want health insurance. So if you give a little, you get a little, and that's probably why they put that in there. And I think that's really the line for people when they're reading this. You look at things and you say, well, 50-50 revenue split, these guys are being greedy or whiny or whatever. But if you look at, hey, I just want COVID protocols to make sure that I'm as safe as possible, that's a reasonable request. There's nothing wrong with players asking for that.
You know, OC, I appreciate you bringing up the part about the scholarship, and you look at the student loan debt in our country is just insane. And so for these athletes, and I, you know, I was an athlete who got a scholarship, and I saw a lot of people that I went to school with who were these kind of just young kind of kids that needed to, they were immature and they needed to grow up. And I watched some of my teammates who got an opportunity to go to college, and they got an education, and I guarantee you it changed their life, and it gave them a chance to go out and make something of their life. And I've seen so many of the guys that I played with in my era, and I'm sure it's the same for UOC and probably through all of time. And we're just talking about the University of Utah here, but I'm sure it's the same across the board. People who may not, probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to go to college had they not been able to play football, and they've really had productive lives. So there's a tremendous value in just the fact that you get to go to school and it's paid for and you get that opportunity. And there's, I don't know how much value you could even put on that. Yeah, you could put the dollars of what it's cost at the school, but what these players benefit from them later on. I mean, I have a lot of guys who've been able to retire and they've been successful in their lives, and it's all because they had a chance to go to school and get an education.
Yeah, and I mean, there's studies out there, Scott, and you and I have probably read some of the same ones that show the difference between a high school education, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, the average earnings. And every case is a different case, right? But you can draw the averages and you can run the numbers. And someone who leaves college with zero debt and in a degree, they're likely to own a home sooner than everyone else. They're likely to be able to pay off their car sooner than everyone else. So there's a distinct advantage. Now, that's not to say it's inappropriate for them to ask for more, right? Because we know that NCAA athletics and football specifically is a multi-billion dollar business. But everyone needs to understand how the pie is sliced and how little left over there is. At a place like the University of Utah, they spend every dime of that athletic budget that gets ballooned up every year,
right,
because of football and, sure, increased football revenues. They spend every dime. It's not like Mark Harlan is, you know, buying himself a new cabin every year because he's taking the leftover money from the Utah budget. They use it all.
Right. They have to. They got to ask for money. They got to ask for money for improvements on the stadium because it gets used up, it gets spread around, and every cent ends up being spoken for. And it's important. I mean, it's really important. That's the part that I think that a lot of folks, I mean, when Barry Alvarez, you know, who's a little bit of a bag of hot wind sometimes, can roll out and go, oh, yeah, we'll probably lose $100 million this year. It might not be $100 million, but I'll tell you what it will do. It'll affect all the sports around. And at the end of all this, and if you want to go to KSLSports.com, you can read OC's write-up of this. It's really brilliant. Kind of just how, you know, guys are, it breaks down all the different demands and you know, kind of looks at which ones are going to be worth it versus which ones are going to be just, you know, just pie in the sky aspirations. But out of all this, OC, are we even going to see a college football season this year? If you were to put if you were to put your paycheck on this, where, how much of this college football season gets played?
Well, I think we get a 1% chance that every Pac-12 team plays the full 10-game schedule. I think we're going to get a 95% chance that we start, right? And I bet we'll see 6, 7, 8 games played on average across the board by all these teams because we're seeing these other sports restarting, guys. And the NBA bubble, successful.
It works,
the bubble,
yeah,
for the WNBA, very successful. The UFC, they've been able to socially distance and create a bubble for their athletes. They've had multiple fights. For the last 2 months, they've all done that successfully. But the closest comparison to football is what's happening with Major League Baseball. It's a non-bubble environment. There's travel. There's more people. Just the sheer numbers of the sport involved. And when you've got a 60-man travel roster, plus all the trainers, the coaches, whatever, everyone's family, it's an exponential web, right? We're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that we're hoping none of them have COVID-19. Not possible.
Right. It's going to be a tough deal. We're going to keep our eyes on this one. We've got a lot to talk about. When we come back, if that crazy thing happens where the Jazz, or where the Utes can play all of their schedule, what it looks like, how many wins versus losses on that schedule that's been put out, we're going to talk about that. Thanks, OC, for joining us. We'll talk to you again. We've got news, traffic, and weather right now, right here on KSL News Radio. I've also got a Jazz score update versus the Lakers. Stay with us.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is KSL's unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, the Jazz and Lakers have tipped off from, well, this is a home game, Scott. I don't know if you know this is a home game. They've got Vivint on the court.
Well, you can see the fans. Hey, I think I'm in the stands. I think I just saw me. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm holding a baby in there. They've had like a couple, and it is weird because if you're watching it with the volume up, if a team makes a shot, you have kind of this weird kind of crowd noise that sort of picks up, And it's just, if you're the players, I just wonder if all of it is just noise and it doesn't matter anyway. But anyway, bottom line, Lakers are up right now 21-15 over the Jazz in the first quarter with 2:43 left. And it's been a decent game so far for the Jazz. Wheels starting to fall off just a little bit toward the end of this first quarter. But, yeah, so far kind of hanging in there with the Lakers. And, man, I think they barely beat the Pelicans. They looked really bad against Oklahoma City the other day. I mean, they lose, and it was the lowest point output. Everybody is scoring more points, and the Jazz have not been in the bubble. So we'll see how this thing turns out.
The Jazz have really struggled offensively.
The Lakers can clinch that number one seed overall in the playoffs, and maybe that's when the basketball is going to get better. It's been kind of, I don't know. It still feels very much like it's a terrible, It looks like bad scrimmages. That's what it looks like. It still does not look like. It just looks like exhibition, preseason, whatever, all this stuff. So, anyway. Scott, let's get into this. We talked with OC about.
This is fun. I'm excited about this.
I know. We've been talking about football, and I asked OC the question, what are the odds of us actually seeing some football go through the full season here? And look, the Pac-12 put out its schedule.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with him on that. But
what he says, he doesn't think it's going to all.
It's
everyone's
like
going to finish
seven games. Yeah.
Well, but here's the thing: why did the football? I mean, they're not going to have the same success that a bubble in the NBA is going to have. They're going to be more along the lines of what baseball is, which teams are going to be able to avoid it and some aren't.
Baseball can't get out of its own way. Baseball,
literally, selfish. Football can't These either. Players, they're going to be tackling each other. They can't get out of each other's way.
When you go to, it's not the same. I'm just telling you, it's not the baseball and football are not the same. These teams, they go to a city for a night. They're all together the whole entire time. They can control the movement of these players almost 100% when they're in college and they're playing football. When they're pros and they go to a city for 3 or 4 days, these guys are out at night. They're going all these different places. And I love how you've
painted the picture of a bunch of 18 to 20 year old college football players as these guys who you'll be able to control their movements. It's like, yeah,
when they go on the road. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, when they go on the road. Sure. But not when they're at home, they're going to be like,
but being home is a different story.
And kind of, except they're going to be at parties and stuff where all these other people are going to get it. I mean, come on.
Not during,
and then they're going to play other teams. They're going to get it from SC.
It's not during the football season.
All right. All right.
And they're not going to get it from SC. That's not the school they're going to get it from. It's Arizona is where they're going to get it.
Look, I love it.
Here's just one more point really quick.
Okay.
Shoot, I forgot what my point was.
Well, see, it's
a... No, I didn't. I'm joking.
Okay.
And it pertains to the schedule, which is what we're going to talk about here. They've baked into the schedule ways to, if there is an outbreak, they can have a 2-week break. It's like a built-in bye week so that they don't have these, you know, all of a sudden you have this whole entire team in baseball, and they've got the schedule they have to stick to. There's no flexibility in the schedule for baseball, and that's the difference between college football. They have a flexibility here. They have bye weeks. They have extra weeks going into December, and if they have a flare up somewhere, they can control it, and they can. And I believe that I believe they'll get the whole season in. I really do.
Scott Mitchell on the side, he works for the CDC. He tracks diseases. He's an epidemiologist. Am I saying that right?
No,
he's KSL's unrivaled epidemiologist.
I work
Scott
for the
Mitchell.
ABC. Okay, let's get it right. Let's get your letters.
Oh
right.
My goodness.
Alphabet.
All right. So here's the deal. Let's talk about the schedule then. Let's just assume everything goes off without a hitch.
This is an awesome schedule.
This is us pulling the wool over our own eyes for just a moment here as we look at the schedule here. So let's look at what we have here when it comes to the schedule for the University of Utah.
It's a great schedule if you're Utah.
I don't know.
You.
It's an amazing. No,
yes,
listen. It's
no. It's no. Listen. To
it's
me.
Difficult, Scott.
No, they have. Look, their first five games.
Mm-hmm.
Their first five games are like it's like non-conference games. You've got Washington State. They're in flux, right? The new coach,
for sure.
Colorado, same thing. Like, it's going to be Oregon State at home,
right?
Which could be probably the best of those first four games.
Which is insane to think. Which is insane to think that of out of the first four Pac-12 teams that you play, Oregon State's going to give you is the one that's going to give you a run for your money.
Oh, let's keep going. Because
no, I know. I'm just saying those first four
is four. But then there's Arizona at home. Arizona is terrible. All right, so you have the second half of the season,
which is very much different than the first half. Well, I mean, that first half seems like it could be a good warm-up season there for.
But that's the whole thing is you've got a young team, Alex. This is what we're not forget. We got to remember this. This is an inexperienced young team, and it's a whole lot easier starting out with Washington State and Colorado as opposed to USC and Washington or USC and Arizona State or. You know that so this is a really good schedule for this young team, and this team could be 5-0 by the time they go to Arizona State on November 7th.
Okay,
and
so
that's
they go to
probably going to be a bye.
So they
it'll be a loss. I'm just telling you. I can tell you right now that game will be
a loss. That's
a tough
game.
It'll be a loss.
You were at the last one down in Tempe, and
it was ugly.
It was a tough one because it was like they were trying to exact some revenge there, and. Yeah, so at Arizona State, when you have Washington State, Colorado, Oregon State, UCLA, those are basically
– Arizona.
Well, I'm saying – oh, and Arizona. Those are basically the worst teams of the Pac-12.
Right.
Okay? And then you go Arizona State, Washington
– at home.
Cal, USC,
at
and
home.
Oregon.
At home. So the very best teams that you're going to play at the end of your season,
all
you got
at home.
All at home. Most of your games, your last five games, you've got – four of your last six are at home.
And at that point, Utah will have gotten over COVID-19, and USC will have just hit them right around the later parts of the of that Thanksgiving
week.
I'll
just tell you, that game at the end of November, which is, I believe, the day after Thanksgiving.
It is, yes.
Yes, that could be the demise of Clay Helton.
He's already been signed, sealed, and delivered to lose that job. The only thing that he's kept this job for as long as he has, is COVID-19 right now. Because everyone's just trying to stay afloat. He's just surviving. I'm not saying he would have lost his job before the season. I'm saying no one's talking about it. But this guy is beyond on the hot seat. I mean, he is. I think that even if they win 10 games this year out of their, what is it, only 10 games? If they win 8 games, if they go 8-2, and they even go and play in the Pac-12 championship game at Oregon or at Washington, then he still is losing his job. I still think he's losing his job. And that's even with having a struggle of you know putting together the season. Maybe there's a stay of execution because of the weird times that we're going through right here, and you don't want to just like have a coach step in during
the
throwaway. But
here's the thing: you look, the very last game of the season is Oregon at home, and you have to believe that game could decide you know who goes and who doesn't go to the Pac-12 championship. So I just really like the layout of the schedule. And I like that you're going to be playing these meaningful, good teams down the stretch when you've got this young, inexperienced team kind of, you know, working on all cylinders.
Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, terrible chemistry, of course, even though there was a sweet no-look pass from Gobert to Mitchell underneath the hoop for an easy couple of points there. The Jazz trailed by a point in the first quarter here, at the end of the first quarter here. 23-22, the Jazz are trailing the Lakers on ESPN. So we'll keep you updated on that. The second quarter is about to start up. We've got a lot to chat about. We've got our MVPs coming up next. Haven't done MVPs in forever.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited about it.
Okay, stay with us. More to go. Plus, we've got a ton to talk about BYU-wise next hour. Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled. All right, welcome back. KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Utah Jazz up 32-31 right now up on the Lakers. And that's after they were at 0-for-9 in the first quarter with the three-pointers. And that's not going to be good. But they've already made a couple. They're 2-for-4 in the second quarter. So right now up 34 now to 31 after a sweet little alley-oop to Tony Bradley from the likes of Mike Conley. On the floor, Mike Conley, Royce O'Neal, Joe Ingles, Tony Bradley, and Jordis Nyang, Scott Mitchell. That's not the lineup I'd prefer, but they're doing okay out there.
They're playing pretty good.
It's actually working out with LeBron on the floor at the same time. So and they've got the weird Jazz fans up in the crowd. the fake video Jazz fans. It's just good for them. I wish I would have made the fake Jazz fan. Yeah, did they ask? Were they asking for like submissions, or how'd they do that? How did
pretty,
they?
Pretty cool technology.
It's,
I don't know how
it's pretty
it is.
Insane. Yeah, so cool. All right, so the Jazz are up right now, 34-31 on the Lakers. I can't stand Dwight Howard though. Here we go, Scott. I got to do this. We haven't done it in a while,
right. Dwight Howard's still playing, isn't
he? I know, and he's like he's the guy in the bubble that like is. Not wearing the mask around, and he's like kind of supporting these like conspiracy theories and stuff. He's such, just more reasons to not like him. I'm dusting off a button I haven't pressed in quite some time here. It's the old.
I got my mask on for all the dust.
It's the old MVP. Here we go. Let's do it.
The unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player.
According to Alex.
According to Scott. Most valuable player.
All right, you want me to start? You want to go?
I'll go first.
Yeah, you go ahead and start because yours was one that you were like, I got something to say. So let's hear it.
All right, so my MVP is Jonathan Isaac, who is a basketball player for the Orlando Magic. And it's because I'm just going to say it. I don't care. He chose to not kneel during the national anthem. And I chose him not because he didn't kneel, because I think we in this country are founded on free speech, okay, and so everyone's saying, look, it's people's right to exercise their agency to speak freely and speak how they want,
mm-hmm.
and that's what he did, and I have to believe he probably did this. Under great odds. I'm sure there was tremendous pressure on him.
He's surrounded by players. Right. He's surrounded by his teammates that are all wearing Black Lives Matter shirts and kneeling.
Yes.
And he's standing. And here's the thing is, he said very clearly, like, hey, look, this is my particular set of beliefs. It's nothing against my teammates or anything. It's just that they are choosing different ways to communicate how they're feeling about things. And that's the thing is, like, for me, I'm not totally offended by people when they kneel, and I don't think that the person standing up is trying to be just like a naysaying, you know, unsupportive dirtbag either. I'm like, kneel, don't kneel, but don't force other people to do one or the other, right?
I believe a lot of these players could feel some tremendous pressure to just look, maybe I don't agree with this, but I'm gonna kneel anyways because everyone else is doing it. And I believe this guy stood up for what he really believes in. And I'm not here to say, yeah, I'm glad you stood because I agree with you. I'm just saying you're my MVP because you stood up for what you believe in under what I believe are some pretty significant pressures, I would imagine, you know, because he's a black player and this issue is, you know, a lot of black players are behind this, and I'm not here to debate the issue. That's not what I'm saying. I'm here because this guy stood up for something he believed in what I think would be a very tough situation.
It's interesting that like he's getting a lot of blowback too. It's just like, I can't believe you didn't support your teammates. It was like, you know, Formula One's going through the same kind of thing where you have some drivers who are standing and some who are kneeling, and it's a sport that is predominantly white, but the best, you know, driver in the sport is a black man. The world champion's a black man from England, Lewis Hamilton. And I just don't like the discussion afterward is always like, oh, you're not supporting Lewis Hamilton, are you? And these guys are like, we love each other as racers. We just come from very different backgrounds. And, you know, if you're from the Netherlands, the way that your country deals with, you know, the national anthem versus, you know, another team or whatever, or another, you know, another country. It's difficult to just go, okay, across the board, we better all act the same way. It's one thing to say, look, I'm united with you, but I'm going to stand up, you know, when this goes on to start the.
Charles Barkley said this. He said, listen, the national anthem means different things to different people. I'm glad these guys are all unified, but if a person doesn't kneel, they're not a bad person. I just want to make it perfectly clear, this guy should not be vilified because he stood up for what he believed in.
All right, Scott.
If Charles believes it, I got to be an MVP.
He's a pretty good MVP. Yeah, my MVP goes to Katie Ledecky, that Scott Mitchell has asserted during the break. Now, this is the Olympic gold medalist, Katie Ledecky, who is on she's on the U.S. swim team. And she's awesome. She broke all sorts of records. She's amazing. She's kind of the face of women's swim now for the U.S., and she did something wild. And she took a glass of chocolate milk, because this was, like everything else in the world, it was a massive advertisement for Got Milk. Fine. That being said, you cannot deny the crazy skills that it took for her to put a full cup of chocolate milk on her head while wearing a snorkel, kept her head totally still with a glass of chocolate milk, swam the full 50 meters of an Olympic pool. And Scott Mitchell had to come out and go, oh, yeah, no, she's faking it. No, this is fake. Look, she's super glued on there. She's not doing this. She's got something going on there. She clicked it on her head. She took it off of her head at the very end of the 50 meters, and she drank it. How dare you?
Everybody can put milk on the top of their head and swim with a snorkel. I can do that.
No, you cannot.
Of course I can.
Oh, you would not last. Look, you would not last two. You know, you would maybe go 5 meters before that thing fell off.
No.
Oh, you would keep a steady head all the way down the pool?
She'd be my MVP. This would really be something if she had to breathe. If she had to turn her head and breathe while the milk was on her head. That's a talent right there.
How dare you?
But using the snorkel, that's way too easy. Way too easy.
You know what I would do? Backstroke. I'd put it on my belly. Boom. That thing's not moving anywhere.
You put it in your belly button and it never moved.
It's the classic cup holder. That's what you do. They go, okay, so where do I put the cup? You go, no. You're just pouring the chocolate milk straight in the old belly button. How are you going to drink it afterward? You leave that to me.
You know, that was the origin of the coronavirus, was chocolate milk and Alex Curry's belly button.
This is terrible. I can't believe the show, after 1 hour of being back to its normal format, has resorted to this.
Look, I will tell you this, okay? In all seriousness, it was pretty cool what she did.
I couldn't believe it didn't move.
It didn't even move at all.
She filled it to the brim and then starts going, and you're going, okay, it's not even like shaking. It's just like steady as she goes. You know what I mean? Like it was wild. And then she took a drink of it at the end, but I'm with you. She didn't really take a full like swig of it. I think there was probably some chlorinated water that made its way into that cup. I don't know. So either way, Katie Ledecky, fantastic. Well done. We're going to try to make Scott do it, because the gauntlet has been thrown down.
I'll do it. I'll try.
With the snorkel, you think?
I'm doing it in my belly button.
All right. Let's take the break here. We're going to come back next hour on the show. Let's talk a little bit of BYU. Dave McCann's going to walk into the studio. We're going to chat a little bit about what the decision the Big 12 is now making. It looks like they are going to go to a nine-league game, or a 9-conference game plus 1 out-of-conference game schedule. Could BYU be added to a few of those? The discussion of whether or not BYU would be a temporary member of the Big 12 laughed out of the building. We've got more to talk about. Stay with us right here. It's KSL News Radio. It's KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL-FM. KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell from the Draper Annex of KSL News Radio, and of course joining us here in studio, he is KSL 5 television news anchor Dave McCann, also BYU TV host and knower of all things BYU. Dave, thanks for coming to the studio. It's our first 2-hour show back.
Welcome back.
We've just been doing the 1 hour, and so
I know it feels like you guys have been gone all summer.
Yes, I just have. I've been.
I
doing
have
nothing.
No feeling.
I've been doing.
I just,
nothing.
I don't feel like anything. It's just. I've been stuck in this house since March 11th.
We're trying to figure out.
Hang in there.
So the Jazz are up right now on the Lakers, 45-44. Much better shooting this quarter with the three ball. The Jazz are 5-for-10 from behind the arc after starting off 0-for-9. So, just hanging on to the slimmest of leads here, and we'll keep you updated on that score as the evening goes along here. Dave, the BYU news, of course, everybody's been waiting for is the Big 12 news. And so today, without official confirmation yet, I think all the the players at hand, all the people that are reporting, sources are saying that the Big 12 is going to play 9 league games and have that one out of conference game per schedule, a la the ACC is doing the same thing. So SEC's right. All conference only, Big 10's all conference only, Pac-12 conference only, the ACC and the Big 12 going to go to that full the league schedule plus one.
So all the cards are on the table now for the P5s. Here's who they are and here's what they're going to do. And up until this point, if you're Tom Holmo, BYU's athletic director, you couldn't do really anything until you saw all the cards on the table. And, there was a lot of talk, a lot of it coming from Big 12 places that BYU would be an answer for their scheduling woes if they just went 10 conference games
because
sure. they don't have enough teams.
Yes.
And while that's true, it didn't happen. And
Tom Holmo was sweating bullets.
If you look
until
at the
this
tea leaves,
announcement happened.
For sure.
Dave.
Well, that's I don't know if he was or not, because I think he knew. I don't think tonight was the indicator. I don't think he was waiting and looking at Twitter to see what the Big 12 presidents were going to decide. I think he's known for a couple of days. But what can you do? You know, it's that would be nice, but it didn't happen. So now you go to work and put a schedule together. Maybe you pick up Oklahoma State, which is out there and kind of the buzz right now for one of the games. And you can go
Dennis
to the
Dodd,
ACC and play a road game
Dennis
for another
Dodd just,
game.
Dennis Dodd just tweeted out about 15 minutes ago that there is at least one Big 12 team that is looking to schedule an out-of-conference game yeah. that is not currently on their schedule.
Right, and that
you're
appears
have
to be those two teams, but we'll see. Anything, you know, it's such a different year.
How many games could they get out of this then, do you think, at most?
From P5s?
From just the Big 12. I mean,
I think they'll get the one, and then I think they could get an ACC, whether it's Boston College or somebody, which would be a road game. But
so add to a couple of the six that are missing now.
Yeah, and then you're going to have to fill it with with a group of fives, and you can find some, and it really doesn't matter so long as you're playing this year. I mean, you look at this year's schedule, what it was going to be. You look at next year's schedule, what that's supposed to be, and the year after, and the year after, and as an independent, BYU's in great shape.
It's just this year they're going to have to do it.
Yeah, going through the reasons why these schools went to conference only was to have flexibility in the schedule. So we can have a bye week if we have some kind of flare up in at one school or another or a position group, whatever flare up it looked like. What do you know of any like contingency plans BYU has in place? Do they have that kind of flexibility with the schedule they have? Right now they have
great flexibility because they have 6 games.
Right.
So they can play 2 a month.
But they're going to want to have more games. I understand that.
Yeah, and I think what matters is, and I think BYU said that a couple of weeks ago, is their standard of testing and their financial interest in providing that is the same as all the P5s, and so it's not a risk playing BYU. And now they'll have to build a schedule. They really have to rebuild September. You know, there's a lot of what's the Mountain West going to do? If the Mountain West decides we're just going to play league games, they can't really afford that, but they could decide that, then BYU loses 3 more games. So, you know, some guy on Twitter was complaining, want to hold Tom Holmo accountable and
that's tough.
Win independence, and this is what you get. And I'm just like, dude, it's a global pandemic. This is what you get with a global
tough.
Pandemic.
And yeah.
We're not Notre Dame, but Notre Dame had a pocket of NBC cash that helped them with the ACC because they're going, well, if you can do it for us for this season only, we can share this.
Wow.
It's different for BYU, and it's not a slam that the Big 12 went with this plan, like some
you
people
mean,
think.
You mean,
it's not
Dave,
a snub.
You mean BYU couldn't have, like, shared Cougar Tails or something with it? It's like, that's got some
bring,
value
we
in
can
it.
Bring
we got a lot of
Crunch,
Cougar Tails down there,
we
as
can
you
bring
know,
Cougar Crunch
Scott.
And Cougar Tails.
You'll
to
be
the
eating
party.
Cougar Tails for, like, 4 of the next 5 years, so I don't know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's an all-you-can-eat meal plan you can get down
I'm just
there.
Thinking of your assets. Yeah. Trying to leverage them. That's
yeah,
all.
I appreciate that.
Listen, I got – so Ty Detmer, of course, went on – I think it was a Baylor podcast that they do down there in Texas, of course, where he talked about the possibility of BYU going to the Big 12, at least for a for the short term. A lot of people were kind of talking about it over the weekend, but here's what former Heisman Trophy winner Ty Detmer had to say about it on a radio station or on a podcast down there in Texas.
You know, this is kind of the last ditch effort, I think, for BYU to be able to pick up some extra games from those that they lost to the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. So I think everybody associated with BYU would love to see BYU pick up some games with the Big 12. I know a few years ago I was there when they were talking about joining the Big 12 and maybe the Big 12 was going to expand. So, you know, there have been conversations in the past, so maybe this one will maybe kickstart that again, and they'll be able to pick up a few extra games if some of the Big 12 teams need them.
At this point now, What do you look at this season as trying to do? Is it just trying to get as many games as you can and just trying to get through it? Do you look at it, Dave, like, hey, we're not even going to be playing this this fall. This is going to be a spring situation. Or what does the football team hope to get out of this? Because I know on the one hand we talk about how dire of a situation it is, and then the other side we have these kind of arbitrary conversations about position groups and things like that you kind of go, what are we doing here?
Well, I think BYU wants to do just what Utah wants to do and what Alabama wants to do, which is actually play. And right now there's no guarantee that we're going to play. The Pac-12's biggest problem is the state of California. They got to figure that out, and half their teams are down there.
That's always the case, though.
Yeah, but this year they
Gavin
they have a whole
Gavin
new
Newsom
thing
will
on.
Shut it all down before.
I mean,
the Pac-12
literally,
even
the
gets
Pac-12's
going.
Biggest problem is
it's
California.
It's a real problem because you have a conference that's in all these different geographical locations, and it's hard. It's hard to put it all together.
So there's right now there's strength in being in a P5 league on paper. Well, we've got our 10 games. We're over here, but in reality, in this pandemic, everyone has got about the same amount of percentage to play a game. And right now they just want to play. And I think BYU can put together a schedule that's not going to look like it was going to look prior to everyone canceling out. And you know what? That's okay. That's the world we're living in. Let's just play games. And right now, that if they're kicking off against Bo Diddley, that will be a step up from what we're looking at. Not because it was going to be Ohio State, but just because there's actually going to be football. I mean, remember the Big Ten commissioner last week sent a note to their schools going, hey, we haven't even decided if we're going to play yet.
Right. And that's freaking everybody out. Yeah.
I figured something out about you, Dave.
What?
It finally dawned on me.
Common sense and reason?
No. And it's a talent. This is a real compliment. I'm just telling you right now.
Here comes the insult.
No, it's not.
It's a real talent. It's not. Here it comes. Get ready.
You are.
Remember, I'm going to be announcing some games with Mitchell names in it down the road.
I'm just telling you, you are an amazing optimist. Like you can find a silver lining better than I can.
Yeah, Scott's usually the silver lining.
Well, you know why it's easy.
I know why it is. It's because you're a Cubs fan. That's why it is. And you've had to lose all these years, and you found a way to spin it in such a positive way.
We won the World Series like 2 years ago.
I know,
but for years they didn't.
That's true. We have been trained.
Let me ask you this,
to do that. But
I want to ask you something before we get to the break here.
All right.
What is the thing, like, in the end? Does this push BYU to get out of independence quicker,
no,
do you think?
After, not at
after,
all.
Like, they look at this and they go, oh, not that another global pandemic could hit and that's the reason why you want to get out of independence, but to say, you know what, it would kind of be nice to have this affiliation. You don't
not
think
unless
so.
There's a better option on the table. Remember, we went independent because it was the best option on the table, not because we were invited to join a P5.
Is it just ESPN money we're talking about, though?
I think it's a freedom to schedule. It's access to your material, and it's financial. We couldn't get that from the Mountain West or any of those other leagues. So you do what's the best option for your group, and going independent was the best option for BYU. It still is. Look at next year's schedule. I mean, that it's just, you know, what they want to do is they want to be in a P5. To get into one, they got to be invited into one. Until that happens, you got to be the best independent that you can be. Key vote tomorrow with the NCAA Board of Governors. They're going to decide whether or not to cancel all the fall championships. If that happens, things are going to get really interesting.
Then you're going to see the P5 flex their muscles and try to go, we don't care what you say.
We're going
to
go do our own thing.
We're going to do our own thing.
And if they do go their own thing, BYU will be a part of that. Because when it comes to Olympic sports, they're in the top 25 just about everything.
Let's take a break
here. Big vote tomorrow.
Dave McCann, KSL5 Television tonight. You can also see him on BYU TV. You guys are kicking off AFR on BYU TV.
Tomorrow night on the BYU TV app, 9 o'clock Eastern.
It's 7 o'clock Eastern,
5,
oh, five
our
here.
Time.
Okay, there you
go. Know, we didn't want to compete with your
no,
show.
No, no, no. Can't.
Just we like a pregame show. We're just a pregame show.
That's good. All right, we're taking the break here. We've got a score update for you here. Jazz up, now tied 52-52 with the Lakers here with 2 minutes left in the first half. We're going to have Jeremiah Jensen join us in just a couple minutes here as well. Dave, thanks for hanging out, man.
Anytime, guys. Good to have you back.
Again. Oh, yeah. We're excited. All right, coming right back. More to go right here. KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio. Welcome back. KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio. Dave McCann out, and Jeremiah Jensen from KSL 5 Television in, as the Jazz, with a minute left in the second quarter, have gotten 15 points out of Donovan Mitchell in the second quarter alone. I was hoping he was going to make that three. It was going to be 18. He's got 22 points, JJ, in the first half. It's pretty dang impressive from the kid who led the team with 13 points the other night in an abysmal performance.
To be honest, I didn't think Donovan played well the first two games. He just wasn't as engaged and active in the game from start to finish like I thought he had should have been. He was really good in the last few minutes against the Pelicans. Nobody was good against the Thunder, but tonight we're seeing Donovan Mitchell at his best.
It just kind of feels like these teams are trying to just get their feet. There's just a lot of
how's that
like,
exhibition feel.
You're right really on, does. Scott. You're right on. Look, these guys, all these teams know their first round matchup in the playoffs is going to be tough, and there's no home court advantage. So you're not trying
what
to angle for
it
the four.
I mean, it says Vivint right on the floor. JJ, it says Vivint right on the floor.
Yeah,
it's a home
but,
game.
But it, and that's been my beef the whole time. It's like, so, like, what if you're first or eighth seed? I mean, you're going to play a certain team, but you have to play a good team anyways to advance in the playoffs. And so there's not – it's kind of a bummer for a team like the Lakers who get that home field, you know, advantage, and they don't really get to take advantage of it.
It's 56-56 here with 36 seconds left. Impressions on the first half, which is, in my mind, I mean, the first quarter was bad three-point shooting, luckily, by both teams. But now you've got a Jazz team that has found a little bit of a rhythm, the pick and roll game working a little bit, not as many errant just throw ups to the hoop without anybody being there. They look like they're showing up against the Lake Show.
The ball is moving in the second quarter. That was the problem in the first two games, is the Jazz weren't moving the ball like they should have, and I think they were making an adjustment to playing without Boyan, plus being off for a few months. So you combine those things, and I think they were a little out of sync. I think you're seeing a much better offensive rhythm, as you mentioned, and also the ball's moving well tonight in this offense. And I'll also say this team's going to live and die by the three. They were a combined 25% in the first two games from three, and then they come out and go 0 for 9 in the first quarter, but then they made 5 in the second quarter. It might even be up to 6 or 7 at this point.
Yeah.
I had to walk over here, but they're finally starting to hit the threes, and that's why they're having success tonight, is that three ball is finally going in. The Jazz were the number one three-point shooting team in the NBA before the shutdown, and that's got to continue here in Orlando if they want to compete, especially with Boyan out.
You know what's really hard for me is, like, the lighting doesn't seem to be very good, and so it's
so the fake fans, they're
all
different.
No, it's not the fake fans, but I'm trying to read on the back of the jerseys who made the shot. Like, who is that? Who made that shot?
No, it is tough. It's like, it is different lighting.
It's
a different look.
Who's Equity?
It looks like that it's a summer league game. I mean, that's the feel that it has to it a little bit, and so
you know what it feels like to me. This is what it feels like to me.
What does it feel like to you?
Feels like the Jazz are going to end up being 7.
Ew.
And
they're
going to play the Clippers,
and
they're going to be one and done in the playoffs.
They are too far ahead of the Mavs at this point. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
They'd have to really, really fall apart. The Mavericks are 0-2, and they are in the 7th coming in.
Yeah, and
I do think it's possible for the Jazz to fall to 6, and I think that actually would be great for them, and here's why. Because
they're taking on the Nuggets?
Who would you rather have them play in the first round? Tell me honestly. Denver, Houston, Oklahoma City.
neither Houston or Oklahoma City.
I want Denver.
I'd rather have Denver.
And who would you want if they were able to win that first round playoff series? Clippers or Lakers?
Yeah, yeah. The Clippers, man.
Absolutely. So the sixth spot, Scott, see, is actually beneficial to the Jazz.
So you're saying strategic tanking.
Yes. The Jazz need to tank in Orlando.
I've said this on the show with the two of you, and you both laughed at me.
Well,
you both in the
bubble tanking
too,
you brought
my feelings,
up? Scott was way ahead of his time.
Scott has like 9 TVs in front of him. He's got like a battle station. Where he's taking, he sees all sports all the time, so it's kind of he's got an advantage over us. All right, with the Jazz moving forward, though, I don't know if there's with the loss, you know, the 20 plus point loss and not being able to really get a lot of offense going. Everybody's scoring like crazy in the bubble, except for the Utah Jazz. So after all of this, where do you want them to be after this Lakers game? I mean, taking a loss of the Lakers, can clinch that number one seed after with a win tonight. Mm-hmm. So do they look at this game and say, we have to have this one, or do they look at it and go, we can still go 4-4 in the bubble when we're feeling
the
okay.
Jazz?
Yeah.
Look, these games, I mean, they matter, but they don't. Now, let me explain why. Because like I said earlier, your first-round playoff matchup is going to be brutal. Look, the Lakers might end up playing the Blazers in the first round of the playoffs. Wow. The Blazers were in the Western Conference Finals last year, and they got Nurk back. So if Blazers can make that happen, the Lakers don't have a gimme in the first round either, and they're the one seed. So there's no great matchup in the first round if you're in the West. So where you finish doesn't matter. What I want to see from the Jazz is I want to see them playing at their best when they enter the playoffs. That may take 8 games. Maybe it happens tonight. Maybe they're feeling it right now in the second quarter the way they performed here. That's what I want to see. If the Jazz lose this game to the Lakers, but I feel like they played better, then I'm okay with that if you're a Jazz fan.
So most people feel like this bubble experiment in the NBA has been successful.
Yes.
You know, you hear a lot of really good things. I enjoy
you
watching
it. You can't deny
it.
The negative tests, obviously, being
right.
A big deal.
It's been big. Yeah. Do you think these players are really into this? Because you see a lot of sloppy play.
Yes.
And do you think they're like, we want to put on a good show for fans. We want to compete and we want to win.
They're in preseason mode. Think about this. They were off, 4 months? Where they weren't even with their team. They couldn't even start practicing together as a team until they got to Orlando.
Right.
So they're basically playing preseason games right now. So it feels to me like almost like a different season. So, yeah, there's going to be some rust. There's going to be some turnovers. There's going to be some sloppy play. But all things considered, with all those things, it's still been great basketball. It's still the best players in the world playing basketball. And guarantee you, by the time they get to the playoffs and we get in the middle of these series where they get to know each other and they really feel comfortable, you're going to see some great basketball.
We're going to be in the middle of the playoffs, and it's going to go, you wait. When they get to the NBA Finals, they're not going to be messing around.
They're really going to find their groove in the finals in October.
What does that mean for sports in the fall? Because you're going to get all the majors in golf. You're going to get the NBA Finals. You're going to get football, hopefully, in the NFL and college.
Cross your finger, by the way. Cross your fingers for all those things
you just mentioned. We could be just crammed full of sports in the fall.
Good. We deserve it. We've had to go without for so long. Give me more. I'm going to get greedy right now. I love it.
But see, like we saw with the Big 12 made their decision today, obviously, in going to a non-conference plus one. And we talked to OC last hour about, hey, look at this Pac-12 schedule. And I said, well, what are the odds we're actually going to be seeing this schedule played out? He said all the teams – this was OC's prediction. Scott doesn't agree with him. But he said all the teams playing all the teams on their schedule in the Pac-12, less than a 1% chance of that happening. Do you have a better outlook on those things? Like, do you feel like college football can tighten it up? I mean, I don't think you can do as good as a bubble, but – Do you think that they'll do better than what we've seen in baseball, which seems like it's a little bit of a mess still?
No, and here's why. You're dealing with 19, 20, 21-year-old kids. And
Scott says you can keep them all in order.
Scott, how many knuckleheads did you play with?
let me count the ways.
Okay. So, look, I know these – I'm sure – like, they run a great program up at the University of Utah, but it wouldn't shock me if a few guys – slip out and do whatever they're not supposed to be doing.
I
don't mean anything wrong. I'm
chance.
Just saying, like, if you go out to a party, you're putting yourself at risk. Look what happened when back in July when a lot of these teams came back to campus. What happened at LSU? Guys went to the club, and they brought it back with a team, and 30 guys got it. Look, if that happens during the season, they're shutting it down. And so I feel like they can have the same problems baseball's had, where if one team So let's say there's a, there's some team like the Florida Marlins, the Miami Marlins in the Pac-12. They have some guys that go out and they go to the club, they go to the bars or whatever they're doing, and they bring it back, and all of a sudden it spreads throughout their team. They're going to miss a game for a week or two. It could happen. It just takes one team to screw it all up. So okay, yeah, I'm skeptical.
Here's why it won't happen. Because they've baked into the schedule flexibility, so if that team does that, they're going to get a bye week. They're going to have 14 days to quarantine, and then they'll be able to play. They'll get the games in.
Let's take a break. We'll come. JJ, do you want to hang out?
I'll stick around.
Let's have JJ come in. We've got our NBA roundup. We forgot to do as well.
NFL roundup.
The NFL roundup as well. So I want to. We'll get to that, and I want to see where we're all going to be in the fall. Are we going to be actually at the stadium covering games? Or are we going to be watching it from our basement like everybody else and covering it from there as well? Stay with us. More to go right here. It's KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Scott Mitchell, boy, 7 to 9 p.m. and we've only got a couple more segments left.
I know. Fun. It's been a lot.
It's been a lot of fun.
I think they need to give you guys an extra hour.
You know what? They just did today.
To 3? I agree.
Scott says to 3.
Yeah,
why not?
3, Pete. Come on.
But are you saying to go till 10, or are you saying we go 6 to 9?
Whatever's most beneficial to you guys. Okay. I'm on your side.
I like 3.
Fine.
To 6
we'll just go myself. Noon. We'll go noon to 3. We'll be fine. We'll just.
I just need more Scott and Alex in my day.
There you. That's I'm telling
well,
you.
Thank you.
This is. I'm just the breakup of the monotony of not having sports to talk about.
Yeah.
Has been important, and somebody goes, "So what are you guys even going to talk about for 2 hours today?" And I'm going, are you kidding? We have so many things.
Yeah.
We have so many things. Aside from the Big 12 news and the Pac-12 stuff from over the weekend with the letter that the We Are United letter that was sent out by so many players in the Pac-12, and then the Jazz playing a live game tonight.
Chocolate
while
milk
we're
on
talking.
The head of a swimmer. I mean, that
chocolate
was
milk on Katie Ledecky's head.
That's what I really wanted to talk about. Tonight.
My favorite is about the chocolate milk on the top of the head. People are like, "That's great, the Jazz played tonight. Did you see that young lady with the chocolate milk on her head?"
The NBA's finally back, and everybody wants to talk about chocolate milk.
Don't tell me that this is exactly. But see, you know how it works too, because you'll be like, "The Jazz are playing. We got Big 12 news to announce," and then they're all. But, JJ, do you have video of that chocolate milk girl?
And we end tonight with this. Katie Ledecky swimming with chocolate milk on her head.
With the yakety sax playing.
That's
in the
exactly how my sportscast is going to go tonight.
That's how
you just produced my 10 o'clock sportscast.
We end tonight with the squirrel on skis. That's how we used to always do it. All right. We kept JJ around for another segment because I wanted to ask about that, the Pac-12 letter, and what kind of impact that would have. That's going to have. Do you think that there are demand? Obviously, there were demands in there that were good luck getting 50% of the revenue.
Come on, yeah. I mean, they'd bankrupt college sports.
But extra health care long term for these guys that, you know, and, you know, I do think that it's a little bit much to say that they're, you know, some kind of victims that are like, I'm being forced to play here. The reality is there are a lot of players who are like, hey, and we saw him tweet out today, I get where you're coming from. I love that you have these things, but I want to play football. I've got to if I'm going to have a future in the NFL and economically if I'm going to be able to make this my thing going forward. So where do you think the Pac-12 ends up on this? Let me read what Larry Scott actually said about this. This is the quote that he said today. We are eager to hear more about your concerns.
See, I've met and interviewed Larry Scott. And I can just picture how plastic he is right now as he's saying this. So
it sounds like a letter that you would get from like a job that you applied for and didn't
plastic
get it.
Plastic is such a good word.
Larry That's Scott's so like a good. Robot. You put a quarter in him, he starts talking, and you're like, really?
We are eager to hear more about your concerns and very happy to discuss.
Oh, my gosh.
I will come back to you in the coming days following discussion with
we'll
our
call
team
you.
Members.
Yes, we'll call you.
And student-athlete leaders to schedule a call for this week to discuss the matters
have
raised.
You know what I like about it?
So sensitive.
There are some good things in their demands.
There is.
I like the six-year idea with the chance to get an undergrad and a master's degree. And I love the idea of, hey, look, if a guy goes to the NFL and he doesn't get drafted or whatever, he can come back if it's like within a short period of time. And I think those are – Those are I like those ideas.
Free 1 year transfer, no question.
Never understood.
I love those things.
Why they're punishing kids that want to go try to. So let's say, for instance, any of us went to college and we have a chance to go interview for a job that pays six figures. Like, we jump at that, right? But then imagine if you're a student at college and the school kicks you out because you went and did the job interview.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. So why have we been doing this to these kids for so long? It doesn't make any sense at all. So, yeah, don't punish these kids because they enter the draft and don't get drafted. Let them come back, get their education, and play football. Why do we do this?
So my question also becomes, does the Pac-12 separate themselves so much by making these demands, and then other conferences
it's going to spread out. There's going to be other groups and other conferences that do this for sure.
And then there's going to be other conferences that maybe fight back a little bit more on what those player demands are. What's the possibility of across the board something like this happening where you can get all the Power Five conferences on one page? I'll tell you how, and that is tomorrow on this this Board of Governors vote, or the president's meeting that they're going to have with the NCAA. When the NCAA Board of Governors gets together and votes tomorrow whether or not they're going to cancel the fall championships, Scott, you and I, we talked about this this weekend. I was like, we've got to talk about this, because if those P5 schools can say, good luck,
yep,
have fun without us, because they are where the money is made, and those P5 conferences can get a centralized commissioner of those P5 conferences, they can govern themselves, and they can figure out, and guess what they could do too? They could pay those players handsomely going forward. Maybe it's not the 50% revenue, but
name, image, likeness.
They could absolutely, because those are all the games.
That needs to happen. That's
so it's almost like they become club sports in college. Like, and where they, like rugby or a lot of these lacrosse schools are not affiliated with the NCAA. They're all out on their own.
These are all hypotheticals, but my biggest beef would be right now is this current setup. There aren't enough teams in it. Like, and they're inconsistent numbers across those P5 conferences. So you make it the 14, you make it the 16 teams. That's where those super conferences end up coming from. That, and you have to, BYU would end up being invited because you couldn't leave BYU or Boise State or, you know, some of these teams out of these big conversations.
You could.
You could. It wouldn't be very fun for those local teams.
I mean, it would be great if they're invited, but I mean, the Power Fives, I think it's inevitable. I think it's just a matter of time before the Power Five breaks away from the NCAA. There's too many conflicts, and there's too much power in the Power Five that they should break off and be autonomous from the NCAA. They should.
Will college football be more like Major League Baseball this season with the outbreaks, or more like Major League Soccer, which wasn't the same type of bubble that the NBA has, but pretty similar.
No, it was pretty tight.
How can they make sure that college football can avoid big enough outbreaks that they're going to have to shut down the whole
season? You can't. There's nothing you can do. Every individual school has to commit themselves to doing it, and then you have to trust the student athletes. So, I mean, you got 100 student athletes on a team. Are you going to trust all 100 of those kids to do the right thing? And you have to provide the testing. That's expensive.
Way expensive. So we went out, my boys and I went over, we moved up to Kaysville, Fruit Heights area, and we live pretty close to Davis High School now. And I took my boys over, and they had just finished practice. And I'll tell you right now, I'll give you an update of what it was like at Davis High School. 5 thermometers on a table of just those temporal scanner ones. Then there were the ones where, you know, they pointed at the forehead, the infrareds.
Yeah.
So they had all these things out on the table. Everybody had already left. But these things were still hanging out after practice, you know, as they were cleaning up stuff. And I thought, these poor coaches, and up there it's Mitch Arquette, you know, at Davis. And I watched him. He's going around, and they're putting together pads, they're putting stuff together. And I'm thinking to myself, how much of this is going to be wasted because prep is going to have the same thing happen? How are we going to be able to contain these high school kids from not spreading it around from school to school to school and inside the school, and having these teams go around and try to figure this thing out without how do we keep the prep sports going too?
They'd have to put them in a bubble just like the NBA and Major League Soccer, and you can't do that with kids that don't live in the same homes. Same thing, you can't do it with college students either. You just can't.
So are we just faking it right now?
I think what you have to do is you just try to press forward, do the best you can, and you deal with, like, just like Major League Baseball, they're dealing with the outbreaks. They knew this is a possibility. They're dealing with this, and they're suspending games, or they're postponing games, And they're already admitting that they probably won't get the full schedule in, but they'll do the best they can. They're just trying to push forward the best they can. Not every team has had outbreaks. And some teams have handled this well. Others have not. So it's really just going to depend on the individual schools and their programs and how they handle this. And then obviously their choices could impact the rest of the league. But it's just got to start by not only just the programs themselves, but individuals have to commit themselves to do it the right way.
We got to take
a lot to ask.
It is a lot. I just wonder all these things. These are all things we cover here.
Yeah.
Prep sports, obviously, are big on the TV side of things. And then the college sports, I don't envision any of us being at the same location, eating at the media table.
No, that's not going to happen in 2020, unfortunately. No Tucanos. No Tucanos at the BYU games this
Scott
year.
Scott will probably be in the booth calling games up at the University of Utah.
You can't.
Be the phone booth.
So they can't.
You got to be socially distanced.
Oh, they will.
They're going to have to spread you guys out.
Who and well, we all the booths we have, there's plenty of room.
It's okay.
I try to stay away from Bill as much.
Some
as
booths
I
do when I do high school games. There's not 6 feet.
Oh, no.
No, high school is a different story.
Engineers out of there. All right, JJ, KSL 5 News at 10 o'clock tonight. You'll see the Jazz and the Lakers highlights.
And somebody with chocolate milk on their head.
And a squirrel on some skis. Don't miss it on KSL 5 television. But also, the Jazz are leading the Lakers right now. We'll have a score update for you next. Stay with us right here on KSL News Radio. I don't know how, but they're hanging on. The Utah Jazz are up 69-67 against the Los Angeles Lakers. Donovan Mitchell with 23 points, in the first half, just throws up an amazing alley-oop just now in real time to Rudy Gobert to make it 71-67. So there've been these moments, Scott, where the passes haven't been very crisp.
They're getting better at it.
They're like, okay, yeah, I remember this timing.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thought is, oh, I remember this timing. And I forget, Rudy Gobert is so dang good underneath the hoop. And, you know, Anthony Davis just scored on him. But it's good to see these guys back at it. You know what else has been good to see?
I'll tell you what's remarkable, and I don't really care for him. LeBron James. He has 998 double-digit in a row games. So Michael Jordan is like 788, and
LeBron's 200 ahead of him.
And they just talked about how, look, it's you know, you could get injured early in a game, you could get in foul trouble. I mean, there's just all kinds of things to have that kind of consistency for years and years and years is pretty remarkable.
Man, Anthony Davis is tough. He's a tough guy to guard because he'll be on the outside. He'll look to shoot deep, you know, if you let him. And yeah. Rudy's trying to go out and defend on the perimeter a little bit, which is not – he's never usually gone out and tried to defend a guy on the perimeter.
Rudy looks pretty good.
He looks dang good, man. And this is the best team in the league. You know, they're taking the Lakers, and they're looking pretty dang sharp right now. 71-69, the Jazz up in this one. Oh, Scott, we got all sorts of things we got to do. Oh, we got a 2-minute drill music. We got to fire it up, and it's the end of the show. Scott, what exactly is the 2-minute drill for maybe some of those people who've never joined us this late in the evening?
2-minute drill is, of course, at the end of the game, you got to hurry down the field and score because there's not a lot of time. And, of course, if you do, you win the game. In our show, we don't have a lot of time in the end, but we got a lot to talk about. So we talk a little bit about a lot of things at the end of the show. We go down the field, we score, we win the game, and we win the show, and we go home happy.
I want to put you where BYU fans' heads were at this weekend.
Probably we're in the toilet.
Probably 36. Will you stop it?
No, I'm telling you.
36 hours ago, this is what they heard from a Sports Illustrated writer out of Oklahoma talking about the possibility of BYU and Utah.
It's a no-brainer to me. And to be honest, I'll take you back a few years. Back when the Big 12 had...
BYU in the Big 12. I'm sorry. Right. Keep going. Here we go.
Open call, had an audition... had interviews for their other two members that they wanted to expand to 12 members. I said at the time, this was, 2013? No, I said back then, I said BYU is a great... I think BYU had gone already independent. I said BYU is a great option.
And he said, look, it'd be smart money-wise because this is a team that brings in a lot of viewers on television. They'd be able to have a few more people in there. BYU is no Notre Dame. And it was not invited and wasn't even close. They might get a game out of this Big 12 matchup. But, man, I was bummed out by it. just because when you hear those rumors and then you hear somebody go, yeah, that's not happening. You know why? Because we don't like you. Like, that's, you just feel like, and McCann came in and said, yeah, people feel like this is some sort of Big 12 snub. The reality was, is there's a lot more going on than just being like, ooh, who should we have play on the, you know, on the schedule this year? Because they're limited, and BYU's pretty far away compared to a lot of these other teams. All right. Scott, let me see here. In the old two-minute drill, I wanted to bring up the Major League Baseball has canceled the Field of Dreams game, the one that we were all looking forward to. Now, it was only going to be about 5 or 7,000 fans there anyway, and they say it wasn't because of COVID-19, but they're canceling the Field of Dreams game. That does not feel good this year.
Are they going to bring it back or reconsider? Because
they have to.
I was so excited about that, but I don't know. It's just such a weird time in the world that, you know,
It
just doesn't surprise me that they would actually.
I will say this. Having been there, they said it's a logistical problem. And having been at this place, having been in Dyersville, Iowa, and seen the Field of Dreams and done the tour there, they would have had to have made a lot of changes to that field. It's not even close to a regulation size ballpark. Like, it would need to go further into the corn. And at that point, you would also be talking about maybe figuring out, because there's kind of a few farms in that one little area, and a group came in and bought the two farms because initially it was two farms put together, and then one of them, after the movie was filmed, bowed out and said, "Yeah, I'm done. I'm going to put the putting the corn back." And so they only had a half a Field of Dreams for a long time until finally somebody bought that land
for
back.
I love that movie, and I really wish. And it just has such a feel to it. That field was iconic. It's too bad they couldn't play the game. And as you're talking about this, I was just thinking about Wilford Brimley, prominent Utah resident who just passed away. A phenomenal actor. He was always one of my favorite. I know he wasn't in Field of Dreams, but he was in The Natural. And I just really liked Wilford. So
Scott, in the
I just want to give him a shout out. That's it.
Even in the NFL, this is insane. Even in the NFL, you could get ripped off by some door-to-door salesman. the Broncos had actually put up on their team social media basically what looked like a metal detector that was spraying disinfectant as they walked through it. And they said, "Getting ready to go to work." And people were like, "Hey, that's not a thing." They saw it on there and they said, "That's not a thing. You can't actually do that. Like, that's not effective at all." In the end, apparently it's a giant ripoff. It's not a real thing. They got sold a bill of goods by this company that says that they do this disinfecting walkthrough. Like I said, looks like a metal detector, and they got duped on it, and they bought like 10 of these machines. They said this disinfecting spray helps protect players from COVID-19, and then other people who are like experts and doctors and things like that, they're like, "This is a fake thing. You got sold something fake." Players walk through a non-toxic spray as they walk out to the practice field for walkthrough. Can you believe that an NFL team got duped on that?
Yeah, it's a respiratory issue, so it's sneezing, coughing. So you have to cover your face. I mean, that's it. You social distance and cover your face. That's how you protect yourself. And then if you've touched something, you need to just wash your hands or wash surfaces and keep things clean.
But also walk through this spray metal detector.
Well,
it looks like it looks like something that my kids would have invented and said, "You walk through it and it sprays you as you walk through it." And the Broncos are like, "Sold, I'll take 10 of these."
You know, most NFL teams are always looking for something like this.
To maybe be ahead a little bit.
Some little way to get a little bit of an advantage, and maybe this one doesn't work, but someone might find something down the road that, you know, actually makes some sense, and they can, you know, get a leg up on everyone else where, you know, our players have been kept, you know, coronavirus free. But these types of, like, swinging at something and missing things in the NFL is not new, and it's not a big surprise to me.
Scott, the Las Vegas Stadium, Allegiant Stadium, is ready to roll, and the Raiders officially announced it. They will not be inviting any fans to play in the season opener. Could you imagine? I was just telling JJ this beautiful black pearl in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
Maybe the most amazing thing that we've accomplished as a stadium since
it'll just sit there, and over time, like sand, will just fill in, you know. And it'll after a while, just
well, the games are still going to be played there. The games are still going to get played there, but I saw it and I saw the announcement. And I thought, well,
sands of time.
We'll be there next year, Scott. We'll be there next year. All right?
Yeah,
That's all I have to think about it.
You wonder, you hope that's not a bad omen, you know, because I think a lot of people are excited about the Raiders in Vegas and to, of course, have your first game. You know, you've worked so hard and so much effort has gone into that stadium, and it's just, I mean, it's a priceless. And so, it's just really sad. It breaks my heart. It really does. There'll be plenty of games played there. The Pac-12 isn't going to play there this year.
We're wrapping up, Scott. We're wrapping up here. We're getting told to wrap. See, this is why I wish you were in studio so that...
Well, I don't know. The music's just playing. I just got it.
I know. It's fine. For Amber, for Jeremy, for Scott Mitchell, we'll be back tomorrow. Another two-hour edition of KSL's Unrivaled. We'll see you then, everybody.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.